You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at BasicallyASportsShow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Germany manhandled you.
What was the final score?
It was 1-0. It wasn't manhandling.
It was 1-0.
It was a blowout, man.
I had heard that it was that the score was closer than the play indicated.
No, I thought it was fine. I thought it was just about what it was.
I don't get that. It could be closer than the play indicated. It was 1-0. How much closer could it get?
I mean, like
Germany controlled more than 1-0.
Well, this is all well and good, the World Cup stuff and all that, but I really have a pressing question that needs to be answered before we get into anything else tonight.
Mm. What?
Do you think I sound like Mike Golic?
I've never actually spent a lot of time listening to Mike Golic, so I am not in a position to judge.
Two people on our thread on the boards, on the Basically a Sports Show thread, said I sounded exactly like Mike Golic, and I thought, I don't hear it.
When I thought about it. It's when you get excited, like very excitable. Like, hey, like the little, hey, in your voice, we're talking about Notre Dame.
I think it's because we're both from Ohio. We probably have the same kind of inflection on certain things and that type
sure.
of thing.
Yeah.
So Zach and I were talking about the NBA draft a little bit ago, Mike. And
I figure we should spend some time talking about LeBron James opting out of his contract with the Heat.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Well, see, this is the discussion I think we should have.
Do you think he's going to leave?
My gut says he's leaving because the timing of it is just too – the timing of it just feels so weird that he opts out – okay, this was the year, yes. But for him to choose to opt out right after the Heat get blown out in the NBA Finals says to me that
– he was going to opt out one way or another though.
See, I don't – see – the feeling I get isn't necessarily that that's true, that maybe if the Heat win, he just doesn't, but...
Didn't he wait until the last possible day before he declared his free agency with Cleveland?
That's the thing, is that I thought we were all going to wait until the 30th, and that all three of them were going to declare free agency at the same time. But LeBron decided to jump the gun for whatever reason. Maybe I think the only reason he would jump the gun that quickly is something tells me that he's going to probably leave.
Yeah.
And it's not I don't think it's just because they lost. I think putting that along with some of the things that I've seen Pat Riley say and how he set them, I think LeBron may be looking for somewhere else to be.
That, and I think a lot of it has to do with how they lost and Dwayne Wade specifically. You know, I think it's obvious that Dwayne Wade is not the player he used to be. And if LeBron is looking at him saying, you know, if you're not going to pull your weight on this team, then, you know, I'm not going to be saddled with the entire thing. So he's taking off.
My first impression is that it was just a move to see what they're going to do and see if they can restructure contracts. But the more I think about it, you look at that team, Wade is not going to get any better. Whatever his best was this year, that's the most you can hope for going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's older. He's going to be a season older, less reliable from a health viewpoint. So maybe he is going to pack up and go. The question becomes now, where?
Honestly, I think it's the Lakers.
Well, I'd be fine with that.
I'd be okay with that, too.
I mean,
Kobe and Julius Randle and Steve Nash and ooh.
Yeah, but you think about it, because the first thing everyone's going to say is, can Kobe play? Can LeBron and Kobe play together? But
I think they can't. If
the U.S. national team is any indication.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Right.
LeBron knows. Let's say if LeBron, what did he sign with the Heat? A 5-year deal with the ability to opt out after 4? Something like that?
Yeah.
LeBron looks at it and he says, okay, let's say I do another 5-year deal. Kobe, at worst case scenario, if he's looking at it like I can't get along with this guy, he's only got to put up with him for another year or two.
Most. I mean,
Kobe signed a 2-year deal, and judging by the way he's played lately and how his body's holding up, I would almost guarantee there's the last two. He's not going to be somebody that hangs around to sit on the bench and be a specialist or something.
No.
He's going to be like Allen Iverson. If he can't start, he's going to leave.
Not only, you know, those reasons put forward, but I think that, honestly, LeBron kind of might see the Lakers. This is the Lakers are sort of a legacy team, and he might see, like, hey, this is my chance to make a big splash. Cleveland didn't work out because they really weren't willing to build around him. In Miami, he's got two titles, but it's always going to be thought of as, oh, that was just the big three coming together, and the whether it's justified or not, there will be the perception that maybe LeBron didn't quite earn those championships in the same way, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think for the Lakers, you've got a legacy franchise that is kind of on the downswing. Kobe Bryant is probably not going to be there in 3 years. So it's the perfect opportunity for him to sort of make his mark on a legacy team. And if he can, and if his presence can make the Lakers competitive again, or even, you know, bring them a couple more championships, then he helps solidify his legacy. He's the guy.
But you bring up the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to play for three different teams,
mm-hmm.
What's his legacy?
Oh, obviously, yeah, but you know,
but, you know, if he actually does jump ship again, if he was so concerned with his legacy and how he's viewed in NBA history,
he would have never left Cleveland.
Well, I could see him leaving Cleveland, but if you're just going to start going from team to team just because whenever your contract runs out, be like, oh, well, I had a fun time there, but I need a new contract now, and you're going to go to a different team?
Well, here's another way to look at
it. It puts him in a different light, I think, at least in terms of his overall legacy. I mean, I'd love him as a Laker, and if he were to win his championships, it'd be great. But in terms of his personal legacy as LeBron, like when you think of Kobe's a Laker.
Right.
Michael Jordan is a Bull, despite the Wizard crap at the end.
Larry Bird's a Celtic, Magic, all the way, yeah,
but,
all the...
But, right. But I'm thinking that James might view the Lakers as a chance to sort of redefine himself as a Laker.
Yeah, I guess he's almost similar to Charles Barkley, just without the...
well, he actually won some titles.
Right, well, because what do you... I mean, Greg, I remember him more as a Phoenix Sun. But I know he had a lot of good years in Philadelphia before I started to care about basketball at all.
With Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
He never struck me as a guy. I honestly don't remember if he got traded from Philadelphia or if he went the free agent route. But he never struck me as a mercenary just trying to win a title, just go wherever I can to get the ring. I think that LeBron, I think you're right in one aspect that's how he's going to be viewed. But there's another way to look at it, too. The Lakers are down, like Mike said. So LeBron looks at this as like, I can be the guy that brings the Lakers back to prominence, which isn't a bad thing to have. And again, like you said, Zach, with this legacy, I don't know that he's that concerned about it. Anybody that sets aside the whole LeBron thing and just looks at it from a pure basketball standpoint, let's be honest, he earned every bit of those two titles and all four of those trips to the finals because those teams just weren't that good. Outside of him, You've got a diminishing Dwayne Wade and a Chris Bosh that was never that great to begin with, and what else?
Well, and actually, I mean, you add in the Cleveland
Bird Man.
If you add in Cleveland, he has five finals trips.
Right.
And that Cleveland team, you can say whatever you want about him bringing Miami to the finals. He brought that team
single-handedly
to the finals, despite them getting swept by the Spurs that year.
So they wouldn't have
even been there were it not for LeBron being an animal.
So right. If we're talking about Cleveland, any chance he goes back there?
I doubt it. I mean, it makes a cool story. It would really be interesting to see how people would react to it around here.
Yeah.
Especially Dan Gilbert, if you think about it, because...
I think Dan Gilbert...
Does he put another letter out
Comic
there?
Comic Sans letter.
You're like, look, me and LeBron had a talk. We're cool.
he's going to use either like copper plate or aerial black this time if he does it.
Papyrus,
chalk dust, but there's some talent with the Cavs. They just picked up Wiggins in the draft. Yeah. You got Kyrie Irving, who was a pretty good player.
Back to back Canadian number one picks, Mike.
Indeed.
So he
but
could,
it's Cleveland. So
if he truly is a guy concerned about his legacy, he could right a wrong, quote unquote wrong. By coming back to Cleveland and taking that team to a title, if there's enough talent there to do it. But
the other place I've heard that is really trying to gun to get him, and apparently they've made some moves here just at the draft trying to clear a little bit of cap space, is Houston.
Yeah.
Supposedly Houston wants to get the triumvirate of – and this would be just douchebag central. of Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron.
That team would never work.
Could you imagine the sense of self-satisfaction in that locker room?
That would be even worse than the Miami Big Three.
That would be quite possibly the douchiest team ever put together in pro sports.
See, and because they'd have to get away guys like Jeremy Lin, because then they wouldn't have the cap space. So that would be a team without a point guard. And they'd be like, well, LeBron's the point guard.
Well, but you think
LeBron's
about it, though.
The point guard, but LeBron wants his 35.
You're forgetting
Dwight
about
wants his touches.
You're forgetting
Carmelo's
about James Harden.
Not just going to be around the again, James Harden.
Right.
That's, I mean, that's not going
to
work.
But here's the thing. If you took away all the egos, and if they decided to play as a team, God almighty, would they be good.
But they wouldn't.
But they won't. That's the problem, yeah.
So
they'd be
I
like,
have...
they'd be the 2004 Lakers.
Right.
With Kobe and Shaq and Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
Right.
Now I have special inside source. From
Toronto's making a bid?
No, from Clippers Living Room.
Wow.
That the Clippers are LeBron's number one option after Miami.
Yeah, we've heard all this before.
Yeah. Except for the fact that the Clippers would have to get rid of the good half of the team to get LeBron in there.
But if you guys remember, going back to, was it 2010, the same type of thing was taking place back then. Chicago was making moves to pick up LeBron. New York was making moves to clear space for LeBron. All these teams were clearing space. And if you remember, Miami really never entered the conversation at the time until right before the decision thing. No one had any clue that he was going to go to Miami. So I think if
there
was,
there was some talk with, especially because Dwayne was in there when they were doing all met up at the Olympics.
That's right. Yeah.
Buddy meeting.
But if I
in a year when all of our contracts are up, not even this season, but the year after,
right?
Let's get out of our cities and go visit you, Dwayne, because it's Miami.
If I had to put money on it, though, if I had to bet, I would say that he will probably end up staying in Miami because it just makes the most sense. It just I don't know where else. I mean, I'd love to see him go to the Lakers. I think that'd be great.
You know,
the way it all just went down, anywhere
he goes, I don't know if I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Toronto. Like if you would be shocked if he went to Toronto.
That would shock me.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't know if I care all that much where he ends up.
Not this time.
Like, it's different now.
I think it's notable just because this is the NBA where one big superstar can turn a middling team into a title contender.
And that's the thing. You know, whatever team LeBron goes to, he's going to be – the team's going to make the playoffs and going to win a playoff round or two.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the other thing, too, to consider, and this is probably points to a reason why you should probably stay in Miami, if you were to go to a team in the West, if you were to go to the Lakers and have to fight the Thunder and the Clippers and the Spurs still.
The Nuggets aren't a bad team.
Because the Spurs will never die.
The State Warriors, who are looking to try and get Kevin Love.
The Trailblazers, you know, when healthy, were very tough
last
year.
The Blazers and the Rockets as currently constructed.
Yeah.
You know,
it ain't no cakewalk in the West.
If he's wherever he goes in the East, they're guaranteed to make the final, pretty much. And if he goes to the West, he may not even make it to the conference final. You know
exactly.
So it's all things to consider.
But again, if I had to bet, I think he stays in Miami. I know that everybody thinks it would be funny if he went back to Cleveland. I just don't see that as a realistic option, especially when you've got an owner of that team that basically told him to go fuck himself after he left. Why would he come back to that?
That owner also fell flat on one of his promises.
Yeah.
That the Cavs would win a title before
the – win a title before the so-called king does.
Yeah, well, he's got two he had a chance at four, and he got half of them, so – but it would be interesting because the Cavs, even without LeBron, are putting together some nice talent, and he could – see, I don't know, though. What do you guys think? If he went back to Cleveland, does that right or wrong, or does that just look entirely ridiculous?
It
looks ridiculous.
I think so, too.
It looks ridiculous, but at the same time, I want to see it because, no offense, Greg, but the majority of Cleveland sports fans just embarrassed themselves when
he left.
Yes,
they do. They did.
So at the you know, on one hand, I'd say, LeBron, what the hell are you doing going back to Cleveland? But on the other hand, I'd want him to do it. So, you know, all those Cleveland fans who were burning him in effigy 4 years ago are suddenly like, oh, we didn't mean it.
That's the thing. You know, when he played here, I tried to – because I liked the guy. It didn't really bother me that much when he went to Miami. I didn't care. And I tried to, like, get more into the Cavs and stuff, but you just – and I'm sorry to all my fellow Ohioans and everybody from this area, but you guys are a bunch of jackasses, and I just can't associate with you. I'm sorry. And it's just the way it goes.
Greg, I don't think you would disagree with me when saying that the NBA has a winter schedule. During the winter, Miami looks pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's another reason. Why would you leave Miami where you get to play 41 games a year to come back here?
Because you could go to Los Angeles. And play 41 games in L.A.
Right. Or even Houston, for that matter. But I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a circus again. Probably not as big as the last time around.
Are they going to have a decision where it takes 2 hours to get to?
Oh, my God. That would be the best.
He even knows now that that was a big mistake. He should have never done
that. No, I want him to do it again just because does know it was a big mistake. He's just like, you know what? I'm doubling down on douche.
Do you think...
I have a question.
That's going to be the title of this episode, Doubling Down on Douche. Go ahead, Zach.
My last question with LeBron is, if he does leave Miami, they only won – they went 50% in finals. They won two of four.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of any disappointment?
Considering that whole – like, what did they say? Not four,
not one,
not five.
Not two, not three, not four, not five,
right.
Not six, not seven.
Yeah, you know.
Well, it depends.
They were supposed to win every title.
Yeah, but they forgot that the West is better top to bottom than the East is. That's where they kind of messed up with that.
Well, they really should have won the Maverick series. But.
Yeah,
but if you think about it, yeah, they should have won the Maverick series. But on the same but by the same token, the Spurs should have won the series last year too. Like.
Yeah.
The Spurs should have won. The Miami only won it because San Antonio kind of dropped the ball.
Who did they beat in their first title?
Oklahoma City.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Relatively.
That was a six? Was that a four, 5 or 6 game series?
I think it was six.
It was five.
Was it? Okay.
Maybe it was six. I don't remember.
But
I'm just saying that, you know, if San Antonio doesn't choke last year, you know, this is potentially a 1-for-4.
If Duncan doesn't miss that gimme that he missed, that whole series is a different thing. We'll see. My money's he stays on Miami. What do you guys think? Or stays with Miami?
I'm going to go with L.A. I think he goes to the Clippers. No, fuck the Clippers. No. I think he goes to the Lakers.
I don't think he stays in Miami, but after that, I really don't know. Because he could go to anywhere that offers up the money. Miami's the most advantageous spot for him to be if he wants to continue to win titles at an easier rate. But, you know, I don't know what LeBron thinks anymore.
Come on, MLSE. Open up the wallet.
I've heard Cleveland, stay in Miami, the Lakers, Houston, Phoenix, I heard, got in there,
and the
Bulls.
That's different. That's the different than last, like last
right.
time. It was either – most people thought it was either Chicago, New York, or Miami. Three teams. Okay, fine. You saw that coming. They were getting rid of assets left and right, trying to build up to that. And then, you know, then he picked one of the three. Okay, great. Or in Cleveland. But there's so many places. I don't know.
Let me wrap this.
And like I said, I don't know if I don't care as much this time.
I was just going to say.
Where LeBron goes, I'm not like – when it was with Cleveland, it's like, oh, is he going to be loyal? Is he going to stick with the team and try to take a team that's not one of those legacy franchises and make them – part of the regular NBA stage? But then he left and it's like, okay, well, now we know you're just here for titles and money. You're not here for loyalty or,
you know, who was loyal
like that?
Jordan. I just want to drag the Jordan comparisons up because the LeBron fans hate it when you do
because
that.
Because we're going to we're using the loyalty thing. Did you see the billboard that they put up in
San Antonio? Yes, I did.
No. What did it say?
Loyalty greater than royalty.
Yep.
And the O's in each name were Tim Duncan and LeBron James. Their heads.
Well, you know, like I said, Tim Duncan will be winning titles when he's 70 because he's just a really good fundamental player.
I just want to wrap this up with this question to you guys. With the advent of the super teams, and really it kind of began with the Boston Celtics the year that they won it, where Garnett and Ray Allen and all those guys came together. With this NBA climate now, especially after the Miami thing, does it even matter anymore? Do we even care when these guys move? That's my thing.
No.
I mean, it's just kind of like, who cares? This is the way it works in the NBA now, and it's one of the reasons that makes it very difficult for me to give a shit about the sport.
All we need is one more number one Canadian player in the draft, and then we can start working on a big three for Toronto.
There you go.
Bring them all to Toronto.
There you go.
So the draft is on my TV. I'm having a hard time understanding this. The Heat just drafted a guy from the D-League?
PJ Harrison, yeah. Texas Legends.
I didn't realize you could draft guys from the D-League. I guess he wasn't like a team's property.
Do you know how they have the Rule 5 draft in baseball where you can pick a guy from a different team if the other team hasn't fulfilled all these contractual obligations? Maybe it's something like that.
Maybe.
Are you telling me that the best they could come up with at pick number 26 was a guy in the D-League? Come on.
Got to fill those holes now that LeBron's leaving.
Yeah, I got a feeling when LeBron was considering sticking with Miami, he's looking at this going.
The little note on it was that the thing with all these picks, they've made a bunch of trades already, but the way the NBA works, the trades aren't official until they can make like a phone call to the league and do it. Unlike the NHL, where you can just trade and you go.
Yeah.
But here it's like it's proposed. So basically it was like the Hornets told the Heat, hey, we want this guy, draft him, and we'll trade it. Like, okay.
That's your NBA talk. You guys got anything else?
We just did 23 minutes on the NBA.
Did we really?
Yeah.
And we never once went with who is this guy or
You mentioned who was this guy was drafted at number 13.
Yeah, but that's the draft. He's not on a team yet, so.
No, true.
All right. Well, then let's move on to another topic.
A destra, eccolo il cross di testa di Toni.
All right, Zach, let's do it. The World Cup.
Copa Mundial. All right, well, here's the thing. There's two ways to start. There's the actual results of the games, and hey, the group stage finished up today, and we're going to the round of 16. Or we can head to the snack bar.
What's at the snack bar?
Snack bar.
Luis Suarez.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah!
Even I heard about this.
The world superstar that is Luis Suarez plays for Uruguay. He was the player of the year in the English Premier League last year. Well, he bit a guy.
Oh, he's got a history of biting people.
This is his third recorded bite in professional competition. First time was when he played with Ajax of the Dutch league. There was like a big kind of scuffle. Guys like, you know, people walk up to each other and yell.
Good job, Sock.
And he just leaned in and bit him on the collarbone. When he's playing with Liverpool, his current team, they were playing Chelsea, and he was going in, you know, trying to get positioning in front of the net, and the Chelsea defender kind of put his arm out to kind of block him out. So instead of, you know, trying to just move, Suarez then grabbed his arm and brought it up to his mouth and bit it. Like, it wasn't one of like as conspicuous as like leaning in and biting. It was no, he grabbed the arm, pulled it to his face and bit.
What is with this guy?
And now this time, same sort of thing. He's getting positioned in front of the net. His face just happens to be right next to the shoulder of Giorgio Chiellini, of Italy, and just leans in and goes for the bite. And he didn't get called for it.
He didn't get – well, here's the thing. This is what
and
I heard.
And the Italians start running down the field, pulling his shirt off his shoulder, be like, look, there is a bite mark. You can see it on the video. There are teeth in his shoulder.
I heard on the
Was he suspended today?
I was just going to say, I heard on the Dan Patrick show that FIFA has to do something because the World Cup coverage is so good. There are so many cameras, it's kind of hard to deny he did this.
Right, and FIFA did. Let me pull up the...
I think it was 4 months.
They immediately initiated... Well, they first... FIFA has this weird system. Because it's international and it's old and it's feudal... They have, like, these systems. And so first they had
to officially... Because it's, like, dating back to football tournaments from, like, the 1600s and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you mean feudal, F-E-U-D-A-L, or futile, F-U-T-I-L-E?
Feudal. With
feudal. Okay, cool.
They had to officially charge him with this. They couldn't, they couldn't just say, oh, he did it. It's not like the NBA where it's like, well, we saw you do it, so you're suspended. No, they had to charge him, and then they had to get a tribunal together and decide, well, did he actually bite the guy? I don't know. Oh, well, I guess he did bite the guy. And then they came down with a ruling today. Luis Suarez has been banned for – he's got a 9-game ban as well as – or 9-match ban and a 4-month international ban, which basically means he can't play any professional soccer for the next 4 months, which cuts into 10 weeks of the English Premier League season. If he even stay, and that's, and the other thing is whether he stays in the Premier League or not, because it was being bandied about before this that he was going to get basically traded to Barcelona for a crap ton of money, like more money than you could ever imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine a lot of money.
And so, yeah, I think it's a little lenient considering this is his third time biting someone. Only 4-month ban and then the 9-match ban, which, you know, some people think that, oh, well, is it 9 World Cup games only? But from what I can understand, it's 9 official international matches. So no, not friendlies, but like tournaments within their federation,
right? What,
and World Cup qualifying.
Let me ask you this. This is just a question from someone that knows nothing about this sport. So sure. With this ban in place, could he theoretically play for an MLS team? Or is that...
No.
Okay, he wouldn't be able
MLS
to.
MLS falls under FIFA.
MLS.
That's
what,
that was my question.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my question.
It's a 4-month ban. He can't go anywhere. And he got a fine of 100,000 Swiss francs.
Which is what, about $32 American?
I think I saw it was 65,000 pounds.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
Which is $120,000.
Yeah, but what does he make? Is that just a drop in the bucket to him?
Yeah. Yeah, not... You wouldn't even notice.
Well, my question is, what does he hope to gain by biting people? That just seems like psychotic behavior to me.
Yeah, I don't
right.
understand
well,
what
don't
he's
think,
doing.
I don't think there's any thinking involved in it.
Is he just like, Luis, smash, and then he just starts biting people? Like, I don't understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, the dude's got to be pretty riled up to take a bite out of someone, I would think.
Well, did you see the actual...
Does he have rabies?
Let's hope not.
Foaming at the mouth?
did you actually see the bite, Greg?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, here's a link to said bite.
Okay, let's take a look at the bite here. All right.
I think I can get links to the other ones.
Wow. Holy cow!
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, just leans in and goes
for
a snack.
Which one is he of the two lanes?
He's in white.
Suarez is in white.
He's holding his mouth?
Yeah, because
what, you bite him too hard, dude?
And elbowed him in the head.
Oh, good for him.
And then...
Here we go. Here's a close-up.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake, he sure did.
Yeah. And if you want to see it, the one that he did when he was playing for Liverpool is hilarious, I think. There's a link to that one. It's even more egregious because it's just like that one. It's like, okay, he kind of just bent his neck a little bit. But the one what he did when he was playing with Liverpool is just like very blatant. Like, I grabbed an arm and I...
Yeah, he just grabs his arm and just starts biting him.
Yeah. So,
God damn it.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah.
And then he gets up like, hey...
Yep.
That is weird. There's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah. So,
wow.
He's basically out for the rest of Uruguay's World Cup.
You know, if I'd known that this kind of stuff takes place in soccer, I might have gotten into it.
Watching the
biting and all that. That's pretty...
Yeah. No, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, because this is getting a lot of play here in the States, too, finally. Because all these games are being played at a watchable hour.
Right.
So a lot of people that are new to soccer saw this and has got a big reaction here in the States, obviously.
Well, is he a pretty good player? I mean,
he was the player of the year in the Premier League.
Okay.
He was the best player in the English Premier League last
year. So this isn't...
And he scored 2 goals against England to knock England out of the World Cup.
So this isn't
he's a good player.
This isn't like a goon in hockey that's just coming out to do some enforcing.
No, no,
this
no.
guy's this would be like Sidney Crosby coming out and biting someone, basically.
More or less. Probably more like Evgeny Malkin coming out and biting somebody. But
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, weird sport, this soccer. There's some strange things.
I think Patrick Kane's more likely to bite someone.
Yeah, I can see
Patrick
that.
Kane's more likely to just throw up on the bench because he drank too much. But, yeah, that was the big story off the pitch.
And on the pitch.
On the pitch.
The United States of America.
Yeah, the group stages are over. And the USA, I believe that we will lose to Germany, but Portugal will still beat Ghana, so we'll still advance to the next round.
All right, that's not quite as good as I believe we'll win, but we got the job done.
Can I ask what all of this I believe that we will win stuff is?
That's the chant that the
I thought the go-to U.S. national team chant was USA, USA.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's still the go-to chant. It's still USA. But, okay. You know, in soccer, because you try to just – you try to latch onto things that are traditional to the sport, and around the world, people sing their songs and do their chants. So the Americans have tried different things over the years, and like they do things like they have the Saints are marching in, but they change it to the Yanks are marching in.
That seems forced.
Right. So some of the songs are forced, or they're a little kind of chintzy, and they're not very catchy. This is easy. You go I, and then I believe that, I believe that we. And then everyone gets into it, and I believe that we will win. I believe that we will
win. I thought this was something that you had made up on your own. I did not realize it was a thing.
No, this is a thing. And actually, It didn't really start with the U.S. men's national team. Some people try to point it to some colleges that started it. I did this chant in high school.
Wow.
And I like
– for soccer or just in general?
No, I didn't do it. The fans at our football games did it. And every school we went to, everyone did the same thing. And I think the kid that started it, his brother went to Navy, and they did that chant at Navy.
Well, see, here where I live, that kind of a chant would never fly because, first off, no one believes it. So that pretty much renders it useless here. And everybody be chanting back. No, we don't. Yeah, there's no optimism here. So that chant, that's why we've never heard of it here.
So Zach is at ground zero of this chant.
Sounds like it.
Well, I mean, I'm not at ground zero. It's something that I think has kind of come up with my generation, I guess. And slowly but surely, those people have grown up and they become big soccer fans and they go into the supporter group and they make it. So.
See, I'm not all that much older than you and I've never heard of this.
But this is an American thing, Mike.
Fair enough.
You got the Maple Leafs, kind of the same thing with Cleveland. You're not going to believe it anyway.
I believe that we will not make the playoffs.
Go Leafs, go!
That's inventive.
I don't know. Like, it's just, that's the thing.
I know. Well, see, that's the thing is American sports, we just don't do that sort of stuff. So when we get an interesting chant, people are like, why are you doing that?
I've always noticed in hockey, and there are a few cases where it does – it's not 100%, but I've noticed that more often than not, an American hockey team's chant will be, let's go team name.
Right.
Whereas in Canada, it's go team name go.
Right. And, I mean, the Kings do go Kings go, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah, screw them.
They're trying to throw a little international flair in there, the LA Kings fans, being the sophisticated bunch that they are.
But the U.S., after, God, what was a just devastating tie against Portugal last Sunday.
Yeah, how the hell did you guys tie a dilapidated Portuguese team?
Well, we went down. Portugal scored in the first 5 minutes, and so I was like, oh, no, we're going to have a letdown game now. But they kept with it. They fought, and they went up, and they fought and clawed, and it was great. But the problem was – the way the game was going, there was a lot of flopping going on, and I knew there was going to be a lot of time added on to the end of the game. And the maximum you can add on is 5 minutes. So lo and behold, they added 5 minutes onto the game. And then with like 10 seconds left, we give the ball away in midfield, stupid Michael Bradley. Cristiano Ronaldo, best player in the world, unguarded down the right side, just makes a nice little cross and gets one of the Portugal guys. Somehow one of the U.S. defenders didn't realize there was a guy behind him, and he headed the ball in, and they tied the game.
That was – did I read correctly, am I remembering correctly that was the latest goal ever scored in World Cup play?
In group play, yes.
Group play, okay.
Right. Because now that we're out of group play, and now that there's no more ties, they do two overtime sessions and then penalty kicks.
How long are the overtime sessions? Are they 45 minutes?
15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, that'd get pretty long.
Right, and it used to be – sudden death, but I think it was the last World Cup they took out the gold. They call it the golden goal, and so it's no longer sudden death. So they play two full 15-minute overtime sessions.
Now I have to point out what
one, and then if you're tied after that one, then you do it.
What I think is the best soccer chant in international play, I'm not sure if I brought this up before on the show or not, but it's what English fans chant when they're playing Germany. If you won the war, stand up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that brings me to one of the things I had lined up. Because, you know, we're playing Germany today. And what's the biggest thing that people remember from German history?
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. Heil Hitler!
Yeah, them. So
that little episode.
Americans try to talk trash to Germany, what do you think gets said?
Yeah.
Nazis?
A lot of Nazis getting thrown around. So Deadspin, they tracked the usage of Nazi between 11:35 a.m. to 2:03 p.m., the time when the game started and the game ended. And they worked it out to there was about 3.4 Nazis per second on Twitter.
Jeez.
Was this measured in giga Hitlers?
Yeah, well, it reached its peak when Germany scored their one goal. Nazi topped over 20 tweets per second.
Wouldn't you hate to have to say you're a German person? That's you've got to live with that. That's
part of your, like with us,
it's slavery and. You know, it's
but nobody calls us out for slavery.
No, but they should.
When they're playing the United States. Yeah,
it's not like when Ghana plays the United States. Yeah, no one brings out the slavery references when Ghana plays the U.S.
That's what I mean. I mean, Germany. They, you know, we've done some screwed up stuff in our history too. But Germany's just something they're just not going to live down.
But the thing, I feel bad for the Germans actually because we're getting to the point now where anyone who is actually old enough to be a part of German society and or part of the Nazi regime, like that generation is dying off just due to sheer old age at this point. So, you know, in say like 5-10 more years, you're going to have a Germany that, you know, you can legitimately say is like completely, you know, free of conscience for that whole Nazi thing. And it kind of sucks for those folks that, you know, they're still going to be labeled with, you know, the Nazi chants when. Although I do think that the English chant is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's
if
pretty funny.
Won the war, stand up.
But classy Americans, way to go.
Yeah, we're good people to the rest of the world, aren't we?
No.
Yeah, that must suck for you guys when it comes to hockey. What can you like drag on Canada?
1980, even though you really had nothing to do with it.
But, yeah, like we weren't involved in what can you pull out like the Nazi references for Germany? What can you pull
War
up?
War of 1812 was a tie. I don't know.
Go tie.
Well, are you talking hockey in general or just international hockey?
International play.
Oh, nothing with that. But if like, you want, but we could pull out that you know you haven't seen the cup up there except as a display since 93.
Or when all of the Canadian players for your American teams bring it back home.
The American dollar is strong. The American dollar is strong.
Not as strong
Canadian
as it used to be,
Canadian
dollar is
almost on par. The Canadian dollar is almost on par.
Anyway, so what's up? What's next for us in the World Cup, Zach?
Well, what's next is the knockout rounds. It's one and done. Somebody's got to win these games.
Uh-oh.
Round of 16, we'll just go through the bracket real quick.
We must make our picks.
Well, Brazil was the winner in Group A. They take on this is interesting because there's this upper left quadrant of the bracket, all South American fare. You have the group winner of Group A, Brazil, taking on Chile, who got second place in their group. So Brazil and Chile, a South American battle, and they will play the winner of Colombia and Uruguay. Both those games on Saturday.
I'm picking Colombia because Uruguay's star player is out for being a maniac.
Yeah.
And although I've heard rumors that Uruguay is going to boycott the rest of the tournament.
They're not going to do that.
Seriously?
The thing is, they're not going to do that because, I mean, Uruguay is bordered by Brazil. So they're going to have all their fans there. And that will actually be – if you want to see a good soccer atmosphere, those two games will be fun because you'll have a lot of fans from both sides in these stadiums. Very competitive games between some really good teams, actually. Chile's been one of the big surprises of the tournament.
I'm going to pick Chile on an upset over Brazil.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. Brazil, for my limited soccer knowledge, Brazil has underperformed the last two World Cups.
Brazil has been a little underwhelming. Chile has been very impressive. It could happen.
I say Brazil. Maybe they get a bit full of themselves. Maybe, you know, Chile takes advantage of that. I'm going to go out on a limb, say Chile wins. And I think you said it was Colombia versus Uruguay?
Yes.
I say,
cocaine,
yeah, Colombia.
Or spiders.
I got to go with Brazil because I can't go against Fred and Joe. So
Fred and Joe, the Brazilian soccer
Brazil.
Players.
And because I think Brazil's got a badass flag. So that's my pick, Brazil.
But Chile has the most handsome flag.
Well, I don't care.
According to their government,
according
in a contest that was never held.
According to themselves.
If there's one thing you got to know, you don't bet against Fred and Joe. There you go. My little right. Muhammad Ali moment there. No, I take Brazil because they seem better.
All right, yeah. What else we got?
I was going to say Colorado.
Colorado.
Let's say COL. What am I supposed to do? I'll take Colombia because they've got better drugs. So there.
I think I'm going to go Brazil and Colombia also because I think the Luis Suarez thing is going to affect Uruguay, not just by their scoring, but
it's going to get in their heads.
It's going to be a big deal, to say the least. We'll move on. France and Nigeria kick off. France won their group. Nigeria, one of two African teams making the round of 16. The other African team is Algeria, and they will be playing Group G winners Germany.
Germany's going to steamroll Algeria.
You think so?
I think so too.
Germany is probably probably the favorite to make it out of this corner of the bracket.
I mean, again, limited soccer knowledge, but from what I've gathered, Algeria has not, even though they've made it into the knockout stages, they have not been all that impressive.
Algeria, I like the way Algeria dismantled Korea, but I could have dismantled Korea.
I'm going to go with...
They were second place in a weak group.
I got to go with Germany, too, just because... Yeah,
Germany's good.
They need the living space, too.
And,
now, don't forget that. The Germans need their living space.
Despite you guys loving Nigeria's nickname, the Super Eagles.
How can you go against the Super Eagles?
France has been very impressive.
Yeah,
very, very impressive.
They're not the Super Eagles. They're just cocks.
Yes. But I'm going to go with both the European sides taking down the two African sides.
Not me. I'm taking Nigeria in the upset over France. Over France, yes.
That's going to be tough. I'll go with France.
Nah.
I've already gone with one upset. I picked against Brazil, so I've got to play it safe from here on out to keep this balanced.
All right.
Other side of the bracket, you have one very good game and one kind of crap game. The Netherlands takes on Mexico, La Orange.
That could be good.
That's going to be a very good game. Mexico's actually been very good despite how they played in qualifying. And Netherlands, I think, has been the best team in the tournament so far. And they will face off against two surprise members of the 16. Costa Rica and their fun up-tempo style that took down Italy and England. And they'll be taking on the horrible to watch. Please eliminate them. I do not want to see this team go farther in the tournament than they have. Greece. How do I explain Greece?
They're broke.
Well, no, the team itself.
I'm sure the team's broke too.
The problem is you can't play for 0-0 draws in the knockout stage.
Oh, so they're the Florida Panthers.
I was going to say they're the Nashville Predators of the World Cup. Then,
well, yeah,
basically.
Except the Predators are expected to try and score at least one goal to sit on. The Greeks will just be happy if somebody else puts the ball in the net for them.
Well, so. I like the Netherlands because any team with wooden cleats, you can't bet against. So I take the Netherlands over Mexico. And Costa Rica, great vacation spot from what I've heard. So especially when you consider how dirty and nasty Greece is. So I got to go with Costa Rica.
I'm going to go with Costa Rica. Like you said, Zach, very high tempo game. I think that means they kind of just walk all over Greece, not giving a crap.
Greece is so awful. They're so terrible.
And then I think between Netherlands and Mexico.
Wooden shoes.
I've got to go with the Netherlands.
There you go.
With both England and Australia out, and the Netherlands, they're who I'm pulling for now. And also, you know, they just dismantled the previous champion, one of the favorites, Spain. So as impressive as Mexico's been, I can't really vote against the Netherlands until they give me a reason to.
Mm-hmm. I got to go Netherlands too, if mostly just because I mean, they've been great, and I hate the Mexican national team because they're the U.S.'s rivals.
El Tri Color.
Yeah.
Okay. And Costa Rica, the Mexican coach said some pretty stupid stuff a while back too, didn't he?
Yeah, because there's a thing in the Mexican leagues, whenever the goalie is kicking a goal kick, as soon as he kicks the goal kick, they say a gay slur.
That's right, yeah.
In Spanish. But he's just like, well, it's a tradition that's been borrowed over by the Mexican leagues, and now it's something they put on the Mexican national team.
Right.
He didn't decry it. It was just like, well, it's tradition. Well, okay. I bet he's a Redskins fan. and, of course, I just told you how much I hate the Greek soccer team, so Costa Rica.
Yeah.
What if Mexico ends up playing Greece?
Go Mexico, I guess. Just because it'd be good for CONCACAF to have Mexico in the semifinals, I guess. I don't know. Then the last two matchups, you have the best player in the world, and he's shown it in the first couple games. He scored some great goals. Lionel Messi and Argentina play a very overrated Switzerland team.
Oh, no, they're number eight in the world.
They're number eight in the world, and they also got dump-trucked by France.
Yeah.
Switzerland, highly overrated. Then the last game, born on the 1st of July, this game will be played. 3 days before our Independence Day, the Americans.
It'll be on Canada Day, Lo.
Hey, yeah, that's good enough.
Fight those chocolate-making, waffle-bacon Belgians.
I'm going to pick Argentina to beat Switzerland. And USA-Belgium, I'm going to pick USA because I just haven't heard much about Belgium and I don't know much about them. But I've heard the U.S. has, despite not having the best record in the group stages, they've proven that they are a competent bunch, and I'll take competent over I've never heard of Belgium team. So
I like Argentina because they just seem like they would be better at soccer than Switzerland would be. And I will take the USA because I'm an American and I just don't have a choice.
Do you believe that they will win?
Why not? That's the best Ohio optimism I can give you there. Why not?
I think Argentina will win because Lionel Messi is the best player in the world.
Oh, and there's
although,
that, too.
Argentina's defense has been a little suspect, but that's fine because they score more than enough goals. And then Belgium-USA, here's the thing. Belgium, they won the three games in the group stage. One of the only teams to win all three games. The thing is, they were in a terrible group. Their group was Algeria, Russia, South Korea.
So Russia will not advance?
Russia will not advance.
I was looking forward to that USA-Russia game.
They did advance at home. It's just that, you know.
Well, no, if Russia had advanced, they would have been second place and they would have played Germany. But Belgium, they have talent. They have a lot of talented guys. Marouin Fellaini, guy with a big afro, plays for Manchester United. He's
the Alexi Lalas of Belgium. Yeah. Look at me go. There's a nice soccer reference for you.
But Belgium, they won their three games. Not impressive. Against very bad competition. So I'm going to go USA. You know, I'm an American. I'm going to pick them anyway. But I legitimately think they have a very good chance of beating Belgium. Now, do I think if they go to the next round, could they beat Argentina? Probably not. But
seriously.
At this point, it's the knockout rounds and anything can happen.
If they get to the point where they play Argentina, that would be win, lose, or draw. They can't draw. But that would be a pretty good World Cup for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll make it in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
That's the quarterfinals is a high mark for us right now. And that's weird. You're like, well, you made it to the final eight. Well, in terms of world soccer, that's a great thing for us.
Right.
Just getting out of that group and if they can make it to the quarterfinals, that is a huge victory for American soccer.
Well, that was what I was going to say.
We're only going to get better. So
that's what I was going to say. Getting out of the group of death was an accomplishment in and of itself, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I mean, we advanced out of the group of death. That's something.
And
you
hey,
Portugal and Ghana.
But you know what? I don't know about this looking back on USA Belgium because Belgium, the head of state of Belgium is actually King Philippe of Belgium.
Mm-hmm. They have a king?
Yes, Belgium has a king. Belgium is a monarchy.
Well, you know what happened the last time we fought against somebody that had a king?
That's right.
Okay.
We won our independence.
Damn it.
This is King Felipe. I don't know. He's
a country that's famous.
The waffle king. He is the literal waffle king.
Yeah. If unless the soccer ball is made out of waffles, then I think the U.S. have a better chance.
That'd be kind of cool looking, though, to make like a skin for the ball look like a waffle.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Sure.
Do you think that's what the Belgium league, the top tier Belgium league, uses a waffle battered soccer ball?
But that is the World Cup. We're moving on to the knockout stages. This is where the business gets done.
USA, I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win, sort of.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Zach's Tabs!
All right, well, we're going to keep with the overseas theme, and we're going to head to Sweden, where next season, Sweden's Kiruna IF will wear rainbow-colored jerseys to support the LGBTQ community. And here is a link to the jersey.
Let's take a look at this bad boy.
Rainbow?
You know, that's not bad. I mean,
that as far as a rainbow patterned sweater goes, that's not bad, because like the stripes are thick enough that it doesn't seem as eye scorching as it could.
Right. It's again, I don't know if I'd want it to be their primary look, but for what they're going for, I think it works very well.
Yep. Yeah, they're gonna wear. They're in Sweden's third tier of hockey.
So this is Swedish minor league hockey, essentially.
Yeah, and the tweet that's there in Swedish, I'm not going to read it in Swedish.
Oh, come on, Zach.
Fine.
Visar fram emot att bara
officiell matstroha. Visar fram un mat att bara acceptansens fager. Which means official shirt, 14-15. We're looking forward to wearing the colors of acceptance.
See, he can't speak it, but he translates it flawlessly.
Yes. Let's stay with hockey and Swedes. We can go to the Detroit Red Wings. A girl in Michigan on Twitter the other day, you know, she was just being a little white girl on Twitter, doing her teenage thing. So Kaylee G, a.k.a. at Blonde Barbie 103,
oh boy,
tweeted out, hashtag future goals, marry a at Detroit Red Wings player, and then a couple emojis with the face with the hearts in it, and then a lipstick kiss, hashtag puck bunny.
Wait, what was her name again?
Kaylee G.
No, her
at Blonde Barbie 103.
Yeah. Not so much chance of her going to Harvard this fall, is there?
So since the Red Wings were the Red Wings were mentioned in the thing with their official handle at Detroit Red Wings, the Red Wings responded to at Blonde Barbie 103, Kaylee, please aspire to greater things than this.
Good for the Red Wings. Can we all agree that this one time the Red Wings did something right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, reluctantly, you guys agree, but okay.
I'm not happy about it.
Okay, what's next, Zach?
Well, do you want to talk about the Fleshlight's new application?
Why? I think we should, because at basically a sports show, we like to cover all the important developments in technology.
Well, you know what a Fleshlight is, correct?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I do, yes.
Yeah. For those that don't, it's a flashlight that has a fake vagina in the light part, so you can look like you can masturbate without looking like you're doing something weird, except that you're having sex with a flashlight.
Yeah, but other than that, it looks completely normal.
Well, the makers of Fleshlight, you know, they realize, well, flashlights are kind of behind the times. Who uses their flashlight? Everyone uses their phones and their iPads. So they made a new iPad case for your Fleshlight.
Oh, my. Tell me you've got a link to a picture of this thing.
There is a link to a commercial for
it. Even better.
You can watch the full 45
seconds.
Bought
airtime? They bought airtime to add.
I don't know if there's airtime, but they made it for the internet at least.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to watch the full preamble where you watch some girl getting gifts on an iPad FaceTime. Just skip to about 20 seconds, and then the real fun kicks in.
I think I know what's going to open the show this week. Okay. Mine's not loading here. For some reason. But anyway, hold on a minute. I will copy it and try a different browser and see if that helps. Well, this is good stuff. I got to see this thing.
Basically what it
is,
it's an iPad case.
It sounds like Mike just saw it.
It's your traditional iPad case, and then it has a basically what looks like a cup holder on the back side of it. And that's where you insert your flashlight or your flashlight. So if you're having a FaceTime with your girlfriend, you can give her a point of view experience.
Oh, my God.
Where she's basically going down on you virtually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You can't unsee this. This is the problem.
No. And just the way the commercial is great, just the way the guy slaps the thing into the into position. It's not like already
Let's
there.
Let's do this.
He's like loading a bazooka, just like it's something to behold. It's called the launch pad. is what it's being called. That's
perfect.
The reviews that's received on the Fleshlight website. Launchpad takes watching POV videos point of view to a whole new level. Feels like I'm having sex with my favorite porn stars.
Oh.
I love warming up my Fleshlight, finding some awesome porn, and going to town with the Launchpad. Signed, Captain Beefstick. The grips on Launchpad make it very easy to thrust into the Fleshlight rather than stroking. It takes masturbating to a whole new level. Signed, All Four Girls.
Taking masturbating to an all new level.
Oh, God.
Stoya porn on your tablet plus Launchpad plus Stoya's Fleshlight makes it feel like she's in the room. This feels like better than the real thing. Signed, Flesh Lover. And the last review, I get out my Launchpad whenever my wife leaves town. Now I wish she'd leave more often. This thing is amazing. Signed, Money Shots.
Oh, God. And first off, let's be honest about it. He gets it out when the wife is at home. Who's he trying to kid here?
Launchpad costs $25. Send your orders in now.
That's not a bad price.
No.
And people say we don't cover serious topics here on this show. Come on.
No. No, we don't.
Wow. This is where we are as a society, folks.
Actually, I forgot. There is one small baseball thing.
I just want to point out, is why Rome fell. I just want to point it out.
This is one of the things, the downfall of society. One quick baseball thing. I'm going to leave the big charts and stuff that we wanted to talk about last week. We're going to push that back again.
Okay.
It's interesting. But, of course, how could we go this week without discussing the newest fashion statement in MLB?
Oh!
The protective pitcher.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
First off, I think that the pitcher looks like Turtle from Entourage.
Look, he does. he very well does.
And that hat is just awful.
I think it's Alexander Torres or something like that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you wanted to protect them, why not just have them wear like a helmet. Batting helmet?
Right, exactly.
Or like a John Olerud helmet?
Right.
Why do you have to make a Super Mario Brothers style puffy hat for them to wear?
I've seen people defend this saying, if everyone wears it in a few years, we won't notice.
Right. And it's we're going to notice. What do aesthetics mean when we're talking about safety?
Okay.
How often do pitchers get hit in the forehead?
Exactly.
If he got hit on the nose, he'd still get a concussion and a broken nose.
Right. Exactly. If you really want to protect them, you've got to go with something of a design that's more like a football helmet or a hockey helmet than this.
I mean,
if you're really worried about protecting his integrity, because like you said, if that thing busts him right between the eyes, the hat's not going to do a bit of good.
When people try to defend this, it's about safety, my first response is it's honestly, yeah. But he looks like an ass.
That thing just looks stupid.
Right. Do you think any batter is going to go into the box and take you seriously?
No.
And how do you feel pitching with this thing on your head?
Pitching with a goddamn Super Mario hat on your head.
There are better ways to do this.
I understand. Yes, we need safety. Yeah, it sucks when these pitchers get hit in the head. But I guess it happens at least once per season. But are we really going to make every pitcher wear these things?
If I were a pitcher, I'd hold out. Like, refuse to wear this unless they made it mandatory.
Like, some people are like, well, they said the same thing about hockey helmets when they try to put them in hockey.
But hockey helmets don't look stupid.
Same thing. Hockey helmets are practical, yes. And that's more sense. Realistically, how many times does a pitcher get hit in the head with a line drive per season?
All right, not very many.
Maybe twice?
Yeah.
and how many pitches are there and how many games are played, how many pitches are thrown, how many balls are hit.
Right. And it's – believe me, I'd rather get hit square in the head than wear that thing. But again, if you're going to go this route and you want to protect the pitcher's head, you've got to – this isn't the way to do it. This thing just looks – I can't – it looks like something, but I can't come up with what it is.
The Super Mario hat. That's what comes to well, that's what comes to mind for me anyway.
Okay, I think yeah. I'm still stuck on the fact that he looks so much like Turtle. That's what's throwing me. But
yeah, that's
wow. That thing's horrific.
And the last thing, and you know, I should have paired this up with the Fleshlight story. I wasn't thinking ahead, but bad producer. ESPN the magazine released their list of the athletes that will be in their body issue this year.
If the body issue had come out, say, 15 years ago, there would be a market for it. But in the current day and age where you can get porn very easily, I just don't – I don't see the point of this.
Do you get athletes in tasteful nude photos? I mean, they're naked, but you don't see, like, full frontal or anything like that.
When we were previewing this before we started this segment, I heard some of the names, and I don't want to see them –
I don't want to see Prince Fielder naked. Okay,
ever.
I don't. No.
Some of these guys are athletic, though. You know, Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps is a butterface.
Well, and here's the thing.
Just going to throw that out.
Here's what the thing with Michael Phelps. Since he's a swimmer, and all he wears is a tiny Speedo, seeing Michael Phelps pictures in this magazine is not going to be different than seeing any Michael Phelps picture
right.
you've seen over the last, 12 years he's been in,
mm-hmm.
in
I just want to know where they thought that putting Prince Fielder in this was a good idea.
You know, to show that not all athletes are the same body type?
Well, we can tell that without having to see them naked, trust me.
Well, anyway, here's the list. Michael Phelps, Prince Fielder, Marshawn Lynch, Serge Ibaka, Jamie Anderson, gold medal winning snowboarder and apparent childhood friend of a Buck fan. If you
really?
Remember that during the Olympics, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good for
Buck
him.
Fan single-handedly educated me on the like U.S. snowboarding scene just from his posts.
Yep. Let's see. Aja Evans, Olympic bronze medal bobsledder. Larry Fitzgerald, you know who he is.
Yes.
Omar Gonzalez, he plays for the U.S. men's national team and LA Galaxy soccer. Coco Ho, who's a surfer. Bernard Hopkins, the boxer. Ginger Huber, who's a cliff diver. Hillary Knight, women's Olympic hockey player. And a very beautiful girl. Call me Hillary.
Didn't Manon Riom do a – did she do a Playboy spread? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Yes.
She did. That's what I thought.
But no Amanda Kessel.
No Amanda Kessel. I would actually – I like Hillary. Hillary's cuter in the face than Amanda. But Amanda has more goods.
But you do know that if you got Amanda Kessel, then you'd probably see Phil peeking around the corner in the back of the photo shoot.
We'll move on. Angel, who's a WNBA player.
Who?
Travis Pastrana and Lin Zee, X Games stars, husband and wife. Amy Purdy, 2014 Olympic Paralympic bronze medalist. Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, that's kind of cool that they're gonna throw a Paralympian in there. That's
they usually
nice.
Do. They do that once a
that's
year.
Cool.
Somebody with usually missing a limb. Jimmy Spithill, America Cup, the sailing, winning yacht guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, why not just get some guy that we've never heard of? Well, they already did.
Why not just get a guy who bass fishes on the weekend?
Can't forget these two stars. Nigel Sylvester of BMX. And Danielle Wolf, who's a boxer.
Well, now my brother would take issue with the BMX thing because he used to do that, and in his world, that's some important stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, he's also a Kansas City Royals fan, so that probably explains a lot.
First place Kansas City Royals.
That's true. Predicted by yours truly.
It's also not even the All-Star break.
This is true too. Speaking of which, I think that on next week's show, we should put together the official, basically a sports show All-Star ballot.
So, All-Star ballot.
Yeah, who we're going to vote for?
I just always vote for all the Blue Jays.
See, that drives me nuts when people do that. I take my vote for the All-Star game, which I cast one. I take it
you
very
cast,
seriously.
You cast only one.
Only one, and
do
I take it very seriously.
Do you do the paper ballot, or do you do it online?
I do it online now, but I used to use the paper ballot.
See, here's the thing. Now that you can vote up to, like, 25 times,
which is bullshit,
it is online, why do we still pass around? I mean, I guess you pass around the paper ones for the nostalgia?
Yeah, I guess there's something to do with the game,
If I had regular acts, if I was living in Toronto.
Would you fill out, the paper one and mail it?
Like, no, you drop them off. There's a box.
No, yeah, they have them like, oh, yeah, like right, they have them at like the games. Yeah, so, if I was living in Toronto and I was going to Blue Jays games regularly, I'd fill out a paper ballot over going online. I don't know.
Yeah, if given the option, I'd rather do it with the paper ballot. But I, you know, like the idiot that I am, I take my vote very seriously and I vote one time and I do it the right way.
Do you vote for who you feel is the overall better player or do you vote for who's ever hot around the All-Star break?
I vote for who I think is the better player. But if we want to do this next week, we can discuss it in a little more detail, but yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, so, you know, vote once, don't vote for just the guys in your team and take
Boo.
your right
I want, Greg.
As an all-star voter, seriously, because it's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
Something like
and
that.
We're voting and our votes will decide who gets home field advantage in World Series because
there's nothing ridiculous about that. Yeah. Nothing silly about that. But anyway, is that it for the tabs, Zach?
That is it for the tabs.
Well, there you go. A nice, tidy, quick, and to the point, basically a sports show. So,
yeah, if you guys like the short and sweet ones, it's the summer. We're going to get a lot of those.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of these. Next week
because
will probably
especially
be even shorter.
Now that, like, I'm trying to get you two really into the World Cup, but that's seeming like a failing
I'm
thing.
I'm trying to get
aren't
into
we,
the spirit of things.
Aren't we doing better than you thought, though?
I'll give you a little credit. You're doing better than I thought. But Greg, here's my homework for you.
Okay.
On Tuesday.
All right.
When the U.S. plays Belgium.
Okay.
Watch the whole game.
Oh.
Watch the full game.
Well, I was going to say I have to work Tuesday, but damn it if I don't. We're off all next week. I will try. I tell you what, I will watch as much of it as I can. How's
okay.
that? Fair enough.
Well, you know, you're going to turn it on right before the game. You're going to see the whole stadium of 20,000 American fans. The American fans that have flown down to Brazil, by the way, have been outstanding.
Good
job on you guys. And you can hear them sing the anthem with pride. You can chant, "I believe we will win," because damn it, we will win.
Well, we might.
Coming for you, you waffle bakers.
You and your stupid waffle ball.
Waffle monkeys, all of you.
What? Waffle monkeys?
Waffle monkeys.
All right. And with that, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Go to the website, basicallyasportsshow.com. If you would like to comment on anything said on the show, you can also send us an email at basicallyasportsshow@gmail.com. You can listen to us on Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and, of course, the website. And, Mike, real quick, what do we got coming up on bags number 21?
Bad movie Public Defender. Jack's going to try to defend Speed Racer.
Excellent. That was my suggestion.
Ooh, Speed Racer.
Indeed it was.
I strangely liked that movie.
So did I. I thought it was not great. I mean, don't get me wrong, but
it was entertaining.
Very entertaining.
See, here's some behind the scenes for bags info. I actually kind of like Speed Racer, but it's going to be my job as the prosecution to rip it a new one.
Well, yeah, and it easily could be done. The technology I thought was excellent in it, but anyway.
I could actually go on a pretty long rant about why I actually kind of like that movie, but I won't. So
That's what we got coming up on basically a geek show, and with that we are going to call it a night because I got to get out of here, so
get out of here.
See you later.
Bye. See ya.
I believe that we will win.
hang up and try again.